Well, I also am delighted to be here and honored by the invitation to come and participate in this service that's been extended to me from the consistory of the church. I also want to extend hello or a greetings from Grace Reformed Church in Bakersfield. Also want to acknowledge that some of the delegates of classes are also among us. I see Reverend Riffords here and Reverend Wojtek here, Elder Mettler. If I'm missing somebody, outside of the Bakersfield charge and the Ebenezer charge. I'm sorry about that, but I just want to acknowledge these brothers are among us. And let's look at 1 Thessalonians, if you would please. We'll open our Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 for the charge of the congregation. When we have the actual installation right here shortly, the part of the directory of worship has in it several passages that are read that concern the minister and the charge, and one of them is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 12, and 13. And I'm going to read a little more than that, but we'll start at verse 12. So at verse 12, the Word of God says, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them that labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for the work's sake, and peace, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." This is God's holy word. And again, we are focusing in verses 12 and 13. In this particular part, the Apostle Paul is turning his attention now to some practical matters in the congregation. And the first matter he deals with is the relationship of the congregation to its pastor and its elders. And I assume that you as a congregation desire Mr. Zartman, soon to be reverend, his ministry to succeed here at Ebenezer Reform, meaning to be much used of God to bear fruit among you, a ministry that God himself uses to grow you in Christ Jesus. And it is true that to a large degree, as goes the ministry, so goes the church. It was the Puritan Richard Baxter who was very bold at this point, who asserted, quote, "All churches rise or fall as the ministry doth rise or fall, not in riches or worldly grandeur, but in zeal, knowledge, and ability for their work." All churches rise or fall as the ministry does rise or fall, says Baxter. Strong statement? Too strong? Maybe not strong enough. Because here we are speaking of the ministry of the Word of God, and churches stand and fall on the Word of God, the ministry thereof. Everything depends upon that ministry. So it is right to have an exhortation to the minister, to Mr. Zartman. In fact, the Bible has much to say about such a matter, but it also has much to say about the congregation as well. So, yes, you want Mr. Zartman's ministry to succeed. It's good for you as a congregation and as individuals. But it's not all up to the minister. The rising and the falling, it's a two-sided thing. And I'm confident that Reuben will have the grace of God to carry out his work, the work of the Lord among you. He will work diligently, prudently. He will work with humility and reverence. He will labor earnestly and with zeal, with knowledge, and with wisdom and patience and love, all that God will give him. And his aim will be the same as the Apostle Paul's, who says, "Him we, Jesus, we proclaim, warning every man and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ." That's Paul's, if you will, mission statement as the apostle and as a pastor. It's worth stating again, "Him we proclaim, warning everyone, teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present. Here's the end goal of the ministry. Present everyone mature in Christ Jesus. And I'm confident that Mr. Zartman will labor to that end. He will do his part. Will you do yours? If the ministry of the word is to flourish among you, what is my part, you ask? Where can we begin there? There's plenty of passages. In fact, too many passages for us to go through tonight. We will just focus on one of them, the one that we've just read here from the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians. It's an important passage for the success of the ministry of the word. I'll read it to you again. And we beseech you, brothers, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you to esteem them very highly in the Lord for their work's sake, and to be at peace among yourselves. First, notice the job description of the minister. We just heard one. Well, here's another. It's not comprehensive job description, but it gets us to the essentials. He is one who labors among you. The word is the word for toil. It's the same kind of word that we use for a farmhand who worked himself to his bones, wearied. It's toilsome labor. Paul often, when he talks about the ministry of the word, the ministry in the church of Christ Jesus, the ministry of an evangelist, he often used this word rather than the regular word for work, this word for toil. Work that wears you out, wears some labor. He's a man who will work among you in preaching and teaching and the preparation thereof, catechizing the youth, visiting the sick, funerals, marriages, meetings, counseling, prayer, and much, much more. The work does not cease. There is plenty of it. No complaint. Mr. Zartman will be a faithful minister by God's grace and gladly spend and be spent for your souls. So he was one who labors among you. Secondly, or actually I should say, what he does is he splits it up into two, this labor into two categories. First is oversight. Know those who are over you in the Lord, over you. To be over in this sense here means to be have authority over and to manage. One has authority over, and anyone is over his household. The elders and the pastor are in this position. They are servants of Christ Jesus, to be sure. They are not to let their authority get to their heads. They are not to lord over the flock. They are to be gentle among them, but they do have authority over. It's a little bit different. The idea of a minister having authority from what's normally thought of as ministers in our day. But it is true. There's a time when ministers and congregations, even society as a whole, understood this, but less so now. Don't let that outside world influence us here. We are to understand that the Lord is placing a minister over you. Secondly, he admonishes. The word for admonish here is the one for, it has to do with more, with correcting doctrinal or moral error. It doesn't say preaching here. It doesn't say teaching. He could have used those words, but he focuses in on this admonishing, the correcting. We don't like to be corrected. In fact, again, in our day, the idea of being corrected isn't received well. This is the age of authenticity. Don't correct me. Accept me as I am. Again, let us not be imbibed with that spirit. The believer, the one who has the Spirit of God working in him and her, has a healthy self-distrust. Because we understand we're sinful, and we are open, maybe even ready to receive correction. So God is placing a person in position over you who have as part of his job description that of correcting you. God then, or what's implied by that, is you stand to be corrected. We don't know God as we ought. We're not as holy and as good as we think we are. We are not as wise. We still have a lot of growing to do. And the word of God will be put before us. And we still stand to be corrected in a variety of ways. The correction should not be harsh, but gentle as a Savior would get it. The tone should be that of a brother to a brother. But in this case, the minister, it should be big brotherly, as someone has put it. So there it is, a brief job description. More, of course, could be said. But now to the congregation. And this is actually where Paul is. He talks about the minister, but it's the admonition is to the congregation. We urge you, he says. We urge you. Same word Reverend Paulin was talking about. Some translations say we ask you, but it's the idea of there's that sense of urgency. We urge you, brothers, to know, to recognize those who labor among you. See, it's directed to the congregation. And so what are the admonitions that the apostle gives to them? What attitudes are we to adopt, are you to adopt toward Mr. Zartman? First, recognize. Recognize the one who labors among you. To know is the literal word, but he's not simply saying know who he is and know his name, that kind of thing. It's the idea of acknowledging. It's the idea of appreciating. The idea of recognizing that the Lord has placed this one among you to be your pastor. It implies and entails the idea of appreciation and respect. So acknowledge him as the one the Lord is in fact placing among you, who you in fact have called. It does not matter if, in fact, you come to see some habit of his that you don't like. You should acknowledge him. Now, I don't know if you've noticed that Reuben is a younger man. And there is a tendency to look down on younger people. And there is a verse that speaks to that. Let no one, he said to Timothy, Paul said, look down on your youth. You are to acknowledge him as the one whom the Lord has placed among you. The fact that he might be younger means nothing. Reminds me of a brother who, in fact, was in a congregation in which an older man was, in fact, regularly razzing him, bringing up faults and this sort of thing. And finally, the younger man, who was a minister, said, I think you're looking down on my youth. Now, this brother, he feared God. He knew this verse. He was struck. He says, I'm not looking down on your youth. He denied it. But I bet you, from there on, he took his second thought before he decided to say and cast off another barb toward this minister. No, brothers and sisters, you are to acknowledge him as the one the Lord has placed among your youth. So you're to recognize him. Yeah, you may go on to see that he does things a little bit differently. Isn't that to be expected? He's a different man than the men who have gone before him. He's going to be preaching God's word. He's going to be thinking and leading and helping leading the congregation into the future. He's called to be a preacher of God's word and shepherd of the flock, not merely a maintenance man. You don't want a maintenance man. You want a preacher, a teacher of God's word who shepherds. Regardless of whatever it is, I recognize that this is the brother that the Lord has placed among you. Secondly, Paul says you are to, along with this, recognize, acknowledge, you are to esteem him very highly in love. Love is the seal of your relationship. Together, you are to love him, he to love you. You are to esteem him very highly. You know, you can't really dismiss someone as of no account that you esteem highly, whose words carry weight with you. And again, why? Paul goes on to tell us why. You are to appreciate, you are to esteem him highly, meaning you are to honor him in love for the work's sake. Not because you like him or you like his personality, which is certainly a good thing. Not because of his status. He's somehow a minister who's gained more status than other ministers, you might say. None of that. Not because he's more likable than some other minister. Not because he preaches better than some other minister. Not because he has some family name. Not because he fits your preferences of what a minister should be like. But for the work's sake, he preaches and teaches the word of God. It's the word of God that's being honored. The work itself is worthy of a high honor because it is the word of God that's being preached and taught and brought to you. At least for that. Honor him. He is an extension of the very ministry of Christ Jesus laboring among you. So esteem him very highly. Your opinion of the man may ebb and flow in the future, but the work itself stays the same, or the nature of the work is the same. That of ministering God's holy word, which gives to you life. And for that, you shall and should be thanking. Brothers and sisters, if you would see a faithful and fruitful ministry, you must do your part. Esteem him very highly. Acknowledge him as the one whom the Lord has set in place and sanctified for the purpose of doing ministry among you. Because so much is said, so many books, so much teaching, so many conferences on how to be a better minister. How about being a better follower? Books on leadership. How about books on followership? Are you going to be good followers of the one whom the Lord has set over you, or just one who habitually criticizes the pastor who the Lord has set over you? I assure you, if that is the case and that becomes a case, small wonder if his ministry does not produce the miracles you want. Too many churches have ministers often that are at loggerheads with the pastor and with the elders. Ministers' fault, elders' fault sometimes. Maybe. But maybe it's just this, just failing to respect and honor. Something's happened inside one's heart that this is not happening and one is not a faithful follower. Maybe there's a part of us deep down that is just simply we're being rebellious. The capstone of this exhortation is found in the last line, verse 13, be at peace among yourself. That's what Paul's driving at in all this. There we have it. At peace. Peace enables the minister to do his work well. When they must face toil, well, not so much toil, they should face toil, but face quarrels and face strife and resentment and rebellion and obstinance, these serve only to hinder the work. Every minister here can testify to that. They make it difficult to preach the word of God and make it difficult for you to hear the word of God. Peace enables the minister to do the work well. For that to happen, you need to be a faithful follower. Hold him in a high esteem for the work's sake. Acknowledge who he is by virtue of his call. So here then, at the beginning of Mr. Zartman's ministry, brothers and sisters of Ebenezer Reformed Church, resolve now to acknowledge him and to honor him for the work's sake. To put away any critical spirit you might have in the future. To mortify in yourself any kind of critical spirit. I think very often, the reason why we grow critical is we're just lazy. In other words, what I'm saying here is we're already critical. It's just a sinful nature. We do this all the time, but we're not strong. We're not quick to mortify it because we're lax and we're lazy to not mortify it. We should catch ourselves and put all those kinds of thoughts away. Hold ourselves to high standards. Fathers, hold your family to high standards when it comes to having a high view of the ministry of the Word of God and the minister to whom God has called you or called to serve here. Resolve now then, brothers and sisters, to be a good follower of Jesus Christ and the elders and the pastor that he has placed all over you. And when it comes to their foibles and their weaknesses, well, what does the catechism say? Be patient. Be patient. So brothers and sisters, as the Apostle Paul says, esteem him very highly, in love, for the work's sake, be at peace among yourselves. Amen.